We're going to get into God's Word here, and we're real blessed to have Reverend Jan Majera teach God's Word.
Thank you. God bless you. Well, we have a lot of fun today, I think. We're going to be talking about Jehoshaphat and what happened with him. And so, but I wanted to title this, The Power of Prayer and Praise. And so the first verse I want to look at is Psalm 8. Because praise is actually a weapon. Remember the verse where the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, one of the weapons we have is praise. And it comes as a weapon when we are at a place of awe, of like where we are really looking to God as the strength of our heart, like that song said, or where we really go to Him and pour out on Him all the things that are going on and rely on Him like 100%. So verse 2, I'm going to read from the NIV. This verse is so cool. It says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Woo! There's something really fantastic about praise, see, that even children can do this, where you have established a stronghold against your enemies. And when we read the record of Jehoshaphat, we're going to see that that's exactly what happened to him, and it's exactly what can happen to us in our lives too. And then I also wanted to read Psalm 100 because, you know, this is just a very dear, close to my heart psalm, and we sing that song often about make the joyful noise unto the Lord, right? But I wanted to read it from the NLT, and it's really cool. It says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him, singing with joy. Okay, are we ready to do that today? Let's come before Him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. See, you have to come from a place of awe or worship or acknowledgement that the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, He is God. He made us. And we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? So now it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is what? Good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. We're going to see that this part of this, His unfailing love continues forever, is what Jehoshaphat ends up having the singers praise when they're going to the battle. So now, let's go to 2 Chronicles 17. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about Jehoshaphat. And verse 1, and all of this I'm going to read from the ESV. So Jehoshaphat's father's name was Asa, and he was a really good king. And so he raised his son to be a good king too. His son reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. See, now we have Israel's the northern kingdom, and Judah is in the southern kingdom. You can put up the map, Jeffrey, and we'll start to see a little bit of this. See, we have Israel is up in the north, and then Judah is where Jerusalem is and down in the south. And this map is going to show us where the battle was and everything, so we'll get to that, okay? anyway, verse 2. He placed forces in all the fortified cities of Judah, and he set garrisons in the land of Judah, and in the cities of Ephraim that Asa his father had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. That's important to remember, okay? The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the practices of Israel. At this time, if you remember, who was the king in Israel? Does anybody remember? Ahab and his wonderful wife Jezebel. And who's right? And they had really corrupted all of Israel to follow Baal. And Jezebel especially was really horrible and instrumental in carrying the people away. That was during the time of Elijah too, right? Where Elijah was one of the good prophets that was standing against Ahab and Jezebel. Anyway, this is the time period where Jehoshaphat comes into reign in Judah. But verse 5 says, therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor. So God really honored him. His heart was courageous, is what it says in the ESV, but it means like his heart was encouraged. It was full of courage in the ways of the Lord. I mean, he really sought the Lord. His heart sought the Lord. And God was looking on his heart. And furthermore, he took the high places and the Asherim out of Judah. So he got rid of all of the worship of Baal in Judah. That was huge. So God really looked on Jehoshaphat's heart because he wanted to walk with him. He wanted to obey him. And he really wanted to have the worship be for the one true God. And so God prospered him, especially at the beginning of his reign. But that doesn't mean that he didn't make any mistakes. In fact, we see that despite some of Jehoshaphat's mistakes, though, God continued to honor him. So the first mistake that he made was he got influenced by Ahab because Ahab said, oh, come with me. We should go to the battle of Ramoth-Gilead and you join me, you know, there and we'll defeat the enemy together and all this stuff, right? So Jehoshaphat says, oh, okay, well, you're my brother, you know, I should go with you. And he goes into the battle and then Ahab disguises himself, but Ahab ends up getting killed. Jehoshaphat, like, squeaks by out of that one, and he returns home in one piece, thankfully. But Ahab got killed during that battle. So here's some of the other things that Jehoshaphat did. If you look at 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 1, it's not that God doesn't reprove him, see? Here in verse 1 and 2, he reproves him. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. Phew, okay. But Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. Nevertheless, some good is found in you, for you destroyed the Ashtaroth out of the land and have set your heart to seek God. So even though Jehoshaphat made this mistake, right, God was looking on his heart, and he still reproved him and said, don't go after those guys up there in the north. You know, don't seek their approval. Don't, you know, try to do what they say. So at that moment, he got the message. And so what he started to do after that point, you can read the rest of those verses there, but he set up scribes and teachers, and he went out into the land and set up all these centers of learning so that people could learn the law and to really, truly follow God. So not only did he, like, cut down all the groves and the Baals and all that stuff, but he, like, retaught the people how to worship the one true God. And that was amazing because there had not been any kings for a long time, you know, maybe even going back to when Solomon screwed up, where they had done that in really helping the Levites and the scribes and all the teachers to teach the people what they should be doing, right? So the people that always were so influenced by all their neighbors and everything going, oh, why don't you just come worship Baal? It's cool. He's a good God. He's very similar to the Lord God. You know, he does all these great things, so you should just bow down and worship him. How about we'll just come up to this grove here and you come with me, right? And so the people were so influenced because they didn't have any other teaching contrary to it, right? That's a really important key to remember, too. So now, Jehoshaphat makes another mistake, a really bad one, actually, because it influences the coming generations. But Ahab comes to him and says, hey, I've got this daughter who's really beautiful. How about you marry your son to my daughter and we'll join our houses together? I mean, we're family, right? So Jehoshaphat marries the daughter of Jezebel. And from that point, introduces the Canaanites again into the Christ line. And for the next successive three generations, it really is messed up. I mean, really bad kings follow. But during the life of Jehoshaphat, it stayed okay. But you can see kind of even what happened with Solomon. Like, the life of Solomon, even though he married all these other women and was influenced by the gods they worshipped, during his lifetime, God protected him because of his heart, right? And that's the same thing that happens to Jehoshaphat. But it's not that there weren't consequences in the future for his decision at this point. But now we get to this attack that comes on him in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 1. This is where Jehoshaphat responds with both prayer and praise. So after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom and from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazah and Tamar, which is in Gedi. Okay, so now we got to look at the map, right? Here's the Ammonites way up here. Here's the Moabites in the middle. This is all on the right-hand side or the east side of the Dead Sea is where these countries are. And then here's the Edomites, and then the Meunites are down here someplace. So they get all together, gather together in Moab, and they go on the southern side of the Dead Sea, all around the Dead Sea, and all the way up to about three quarters up is where En-Gedi is. They mass this huge, huge, huge army. Doesn't say exactly how many, but you got three countries and then another bunch of tribes represented, which are all gathered together to go fight against Jehoshaphat. And he's up in Jerusalem, and he hears about it, like, you got a whole army of all these nations, and they're on your side of the Dead Sea. And Gedi is on the west side. So it's only about, I don't know, maybe 20 miles from Jerusalem. There's a wilderness here. But En-Gedi is so close. So, I mean, they invaded the country. And they're right there at his doorstep. Ah! Okay, now what does he do? Verse 3, this is so interesting. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. You would be afraid too, wouldn't you? And especially if there is some kind of attack in our lives, it's okay to be afraid. it's what you do at that point that makes a difference. Jehoshaphat was afraid, but he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So you got all these cities that are all around, Jericho, Bethel, and Jerusalem, Hebron, Beersheba, they all came to that area right there to seek the Lord. Remember I said praise is a weapon, but it comes from a place of awe and worship first. We have to seek the Lord first. So now, 2 Corinthians, we're in verse 5. So the very first thing, when all the people are gathered together, Jehoshaphat prays. And he's in the court of the temple. All the people are gathered together. And he stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, this is the prayer, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hands are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. So the first thing he does is he declares who God is. He's like, he's got all the power and all the might. And then he asks them like this, did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? That was what he had done with Joshua, right? And reclaiming the whole land of Canaan for the descendants of Abraham. And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster come upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house. He's reminding God, your name is in this house that we're standing in right now. And we'll cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And so he's continuing to declare, like, who God is, what he did, what he's going to do, and what he promised to do, right? So then verse 10, and this is part of the prayer still, right? And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, the Edomites, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. They're saying, hey, remember when we came into the land of Canaan, we didn't destroy those nations. They didn't either. And they let them pass through. Because here's Jericho, right up here on the north part of the Dead Sea, and they had come across through the land of Moab up here and across into Jericho when they first came into the land of Canaan, and they did not destroy any of those nations. So Jehoshaphat's reminding God, hey, remember, you told us, don't destroy those guys, and now here they're coming against us. Okay, verse 12. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? We are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that just is another part of the things that we have to do in order to have praise be a weapon, or this kind of prayer be a weapon, where it's a place of humility and a really acknowledging, hey, God, I really need your help right now. I can't do this myself. This is a huge horde that's coming against me, and I don't know what the answers are. I don't know how to do it. And so it's not the kind of awe. It has humility in it, where we acknowledge that we need help. I need help. I can't figure this out. I need your help. But it's because what does it say? Our eyes are on you. We're not going to look at the situation. Not going to be looking at all the huge amount of horde. This, you know, I mean, my goodness, there's four countries represented here. How many thousands and thousands of soldiers that there were that were on their side of the Dead Sea? This doesn't look very good. You know, all the circumstances don't look very good, right? But Jehoshaphat is saying in the prayer, he's going, okay, I may be afraid. There's all kinds of stuff going on, but I am not going to look at that. I am going to look at you, at God, because he's the one who promised that he will do whatever it's going to take. So what's it going to take to get rid of these guys over here? All right, so God answers him right away by sending a prophet. And so going on in verse 13, it's a pretty cool story, isn't it? I mean, I just wanted to read most of it because it's so exciting. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. So they got their whole families involved in this. Verse 14, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, and the son of all those other guys. He was a Levite. In the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde. For the battle is not yours, but God's. What a cool promise! That is such a cool promise that God sent the prophet to tell Jehoshaphat, don't be afraid, because the battle is not yours. It's going to be God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeriel. So they come up. They start coming up towards Jerusalem, and there's this valley, because this is where the Judean wilderness is, and there's huge mountains and stuff. It's where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And there's lots of mountains and valleys, so they come up to this place where there's like a pathway through the mountains. So they're coming. They're coming against them. But, okay, so then he continues on and gives him this incredible promise in verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm and hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. So they still had to go and face it, right? They had to stand there and they had to face the situation head on. Okay? So now we're going to talk about what he did when they went there that day. Verse 18, then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. He said, praise comes from a place of worship, a place of awe. So this is what he did. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. So they already, when they heard that promise from the prophet, they bowed down and they started praising right then. Okay, we believe this. This is what God's going to do. We're going to go for it. Okay, the next morning, they get up and they start praising again with a very loud voice. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. When we have God's promise, when we have a promise from God, we can stand on it. We can hold it. We can hold our ground and just go, you said this, and you said you would do this. and that's all there is to it, because my eyes are on you, and I'm going to praise you no matter what. Verse 21, and when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. He didn't put the best soldiers in the front. He put the singers and the Levites in the front. In the front! And he told them, sing, praise. And so they said that line, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. There's so many psalms that are like that, where sometimes it says, and let the people say, great is his, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the Levites say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. That is throughout the psalms. So they were probably singing the psalms over and over and over again as they were out in front of the people, and they were having them join in with the praise. The people. And when they began to sing and praise, so when they what? Began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. But guess what happened? Verse 23. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, that's the Edomites. So these two countries, the Ammonites and the Moabites, they started fighting the Edomites. Like they were supposed to be allies, right? But they turn on each other, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, so all the Edomites, they all helped to destroy one another. So then the Moabites turn against the Ammonites, and the Ammonites turn against the Moabites, and they killed each other. Really? Verse 24. So when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. In fact, they were 3 days in taking the spoil. You know, they had come all the way from the other side of the Dead Sea, so they carried everything they wanted with them, and they had all their clothes and their precious gems, and they were planning on taking over Judah. So they had brought everything with them. And then they got killed off by each other. So Jehoshaphat gets to come and just clean up and take all the spoil. Verse 26. So on the fourth day, they take 3 days to collect everything. They come to a place called the Valley of Berakah, for there they bless the Lord. And that's back on the way to Jerusalem. And Berakah means blessing, or bowing down. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. Remember what I read the very first verse, see? Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. So God, he said, the battle is not yours, but mine. And so he totally silenced that huge combination of nations that had set an attack on Judah to take it over. And what defeated them was praise. See how praise is a weapon. And as soon as they started praising, that's when God set the ambush. It didn't happen until they started praising. You know, they were praising up until that point too, but that day of the battle, when there was going to be either a head-on clash, Jehoshaphat sets the singers in front first, and he goes, okay, start praising, and then that's when God set the battle and took it over. Isn't that amazing? That is just so cool. That's why they were so excited and so thankful. So that's the last part of it, see, is when the power of prayer, we pray, look to God, our eyes is on you, our eyes are on you. We continue to praise, right? And then when the battle is won, then there's this great thanksgiving that wells up. And that's part of what we have to do too, is just be thankful. Think about all the times in our lives that God has delivered us. It's amazing how many, really. And so that thankfulness is the result of seeing him defeat the enemy for us. Verse 28 says, they came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets. Guess what happened? God fought the battle and they're all dead. Every single one of them. You believe that? And so the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Who had fought against the enemies of Israel? Who?
God. Yeah.
So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Now there was one other time where Jehoshaphat got influenced by the kings of Israel again, and he was going to build some ships and go get a bunch of gold, and God goes, no. Then the ships just get destroyed on the way. And so I think at that point, Jehoshaphat finally realized, I don't think I should make any more alliances with the king of Israel, because it doesn't never work out very well at all. So I wanted to just end with reading Psalm 34. I just think this is something that's really apropos today, because there are so many things that come against us in our daily lives that we need to know these principles. It's not like we've never taught this before, that praise is important, but to see it specifically how you can do it, we have to come from a place of worship, and then our eyes have to stay on God, and then the prayers are about reminding him, you promised this. You sent your son to heal me. You paid the price for my healing. So I am going to claim that, and I'm not going to look at anything else. I'm not going to look at the circumstances. I'm not going to look at this giant horde that looks like it's attacking me. And then just keep praising. For his steadfast love endures forever. So let's just read Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Remember I said that humility was a really big key too, right? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. See, Jehoshaphat was afraid, and it was natural. He had this huge army that was coming against him, and he didn't know what to do. So even in the midst of having fears in our lives, we can seek the Lord, that he will deliver us out of all our fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried. Jehoshaphat cried out to him, right? And we can cry out to him too. And the Lord heard him and saved him, or delivered him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. That's what happened. The Lord set the ambush and he took care of the battle. the battle, you can go back to like the original verse that we had up there. I think it's 2 Chronicles, 20. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Amen? All right. God bless you. Oh, yeah, we're going to close with a song that I think we'll close the recording, though, and we'll just put the link to the song. It's Sal Errico's.